This episode is powered by Hyatt, your smart companion for digital business solutions, and by Auditech's gracious invitations and support. Thank you for having me at the conference and fueling this journey. Let's go. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Devs on Tape. My name is Kai Donato, and I'm here at K-Scope in Grapevine, Texas. So today, the first recording of Devs on Tape at K-Scope in America. I'm very grateful that I have a very, very interesting guest on my side here. So my guest today is Martin D'Souza. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Kai. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm very happy that you're the first session. I have to warm up a little bit, but our listeners are getting used to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe, Martin, can you introduce yourself for our listeners, whoever might not know you?
Well, my name is Martin, like you said, and I'm a member of the Apex development team, and I've been working with Apex now. It was funny, we were preparing for this conference, and I was, you normally know like how long you've been working for with Oracle and stuff. I thought it was like 10 years, 15, and I go back and I was like, oh gosh, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. And that's really my introduction to Oracle was through Apex. Someone, I was with a small company, and someone's like, hey, we've got the Oracle database. There's this free tool called HTMLDB. Can you just use it, right? To develop a timesheet system. And lo and behold, 20 years later, I'm here and I'm still using the same stuff and PL SQL at Apex. And that's really like what I do all day, pretty much.
Yeah. So you're located in Canada, right?
Yeah. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, and right on the east side of the Rocky Mountains. And so a lot of people probably know Vancouver.
Yes.
Olympics were there recently. And so I'm on the other side of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
beautiful place. Highly recommend to go visit.
Maybe K-Scope might be up there sometime.
Maybe. There's so much here to see and travel, right? It's a massive country, so many people. So yeah, so it's not coming to Canada.
It was like a couple of years ago in Seattle, I guess. And it was like just 1.5 hour drive from Vancouver for us to go down there. So almost Canada, right?
It's almost there. Yeah. No, I miss Seattle. I would have loved to come to that. But
yeah,
that still would have been a long flight for not that long, but a couple hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Not as long as we from Europe traveling over the States, like 11 hours.
Yeah, I shouldn't complain for me. This one was only one time. So sometimes people, it's funny, like you guys travel and it's like 8 to 6 hours, depending on which coast you're on, right? For Europe. And when we travel, let's say if I go to Ontario or something, people are like, oh, do you have jet lag? I was like, guys, it's 2 hours.
It's 2 hours. Yeah. We've got like 7 hours right now, jet lag.
Yeah.
Our time difference. But I'm fine now after a few days of adjusting to the new time.
Yeah.
And all right. So you joined Oracle. I know you very, very long and I saw books from you. We might get deep into that later. But so you changed positions from being so deep into the community, doing so many contributions to the community.
Yeah.
And then stepped to Oracle. And this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
Didn't hear anything.
No. Yeah. That's not actually what happened.
Tell me the story. There's a
line, right? So I was doing a lot of community work.
Yeah.
It actually started, like what really vamped me up, I'm glad we're at K-Scope to do this, was I attended my first K-Scope. I was a lone Apex developer in another company. And slowly we were doing more and more Apex development. And we brought on Dimitri and John Scott.
Yeah.
This is many years ago,
right? Yeah.
And they came to the company, helped us out, learned a lot. And then I think either Dimitri or John were like, hey, you should go to this conference, K-Scope, right? So me and my boss, we sign up and we come. And it's just like a little fire under me of there's all these other people, all these other things, and they're doing cool things. Like I want in on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started a blog. I think that's how everyone kind of started back then.
It's Talk Apex.
Talk Apex, so,
yeah.
It wasn't that to start, but I rebranded it as talkapex.com. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that and getting more involved, like doing those kind of things. And then plugins came in. And so I started developing a plugin and learned how to do that and released it. And then got involved with Logger, right? And that kind of stuck for a long time. And so I spent all this time and it was... Then books came and all these different things happened. And it was a lot of effort, a lot of time on my personal time. Never complained. Love doing it, right? and you get a lot of great feedback. And I still meet people here who's like, oh, you know, you did this. I had someone, Simon Payne came up. He's like, we're still using Logger. And I was like, awesome.
Of course, everyone does, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people do, right? It's been battle tested, let's say that, right?
Yeah.
I haven't updated in a long time, but then again, I don't know how much it needs just for basic logging. It's got all those functionalities in there. But anyways, yeah, so I started that when I went over to InSum, and then during InSum, I had my first kit.
Okay.
And that's when the community stuff stopped, because the kids take a lot of time.
Of course,
and
yeah.
I love it. I have no problem with it, but that's where like I don't have that extra time, those 2-3 hours at the end of each day to spend working on community things. Like I would like to be involved with the community. I love being here. It's nice to see everyone again. But those, like all those extras, I just don't have that. A blog post, I still try and do a couple of blog posts a year at best, but I really want to make sure I'm not just writing like a 2-sentence thing. And it's like, it's really easy to do those things. But when I do produce content, I want to think about it. I've actually got this note on my laptop, and it's this long running note of blog ideas. Mm-hmm. And so I still have that intent, but every time I just write a quick snippet of like what I want to talk about, but I don't just want to put like quick snippets. I want to build up the problem saying, hey, this is not just the code snippet, but this is how and where you want to do it. So, but that's where it wasn't because I joined Oracle or they said you're not allowed. No. They actively encourage us to participate in the community and blog and do all those sort of things. But yeah, time.
I mean, everyone can understand that if you're getting kids, right, then your priorities change, right?
Yeah.
It's always the best choice to spend more time with family or with the kids and not with the community.
Yeah, no, it's not that I don't want to. It's, yeah, they're very, but I do like it's a new community, right? For me, and it's a new experience seeing new things, seeing how different things work. But it's funny, on a side note, my both kids play ice hockey, because I know Europeans hockey is field hockey.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so they're playing, and I sometimes like to like help out. So I started coaching, and then they have, it's all volunteers, right? So they have board of directors, and I try to stay out of that. I don't have all the time, but then someone new.
Mm-hmm.
I do computer stuff, right? That's how the general world looks at it.
It's always the same, right?
It always starts. And so they had this volunteer problem where they've got all these, everyone needs to volunteer as part of the association, but no one, then they created this mandate of like, well, with the volunteer stuff, everyone has to like, how are we going to actually manage who does what? And did they meet their volunteer hours? And they didn't think about that first. And then like, they got an email saying, hey, can you help us with this? And yeah, guess how I solved the problem.
I was thinking about that. It might be Apex, right?
No, it was a Java application.
Oh,
of course, did an Apex, and everyone loved it, right? Like everyone's like, oh, it looks really fancy. And I was like, guys, I didn't say anything, but it was entirely just used the Redwood Light theme, and it looks great. And it made my job, like I had to write some custom PL SQL. That's where I spent my time, but just to get that functionality out was great. And so, yeah, just I am helping with communities. It might not always be the Apex community.
Of course. So didn't want to confront you with this.
No.
It's going to
a lot of, some people have asked, like, you're like, are you stopping? I was like, no, it's just other things have come up.
Changing priorities.
Yeah.
Happening to everyone, right?
Yeah.
So going back to the time where you did so many contributions for the community. So how much time can you estimate put you in the community work? So writing a book, writing blog posts, doing conference talks and so on, it might be a huge amount of hours, right?
It was a lot of time. Uh-huh. I mean, there's a lot of, I worked a lot too. I had a great company I worked for, great manager, great leadership. So I love doing that. And then, I mean, on the nights that I wasn't working late, I'd spend time going to the coffee shop and work, let's say 8 to 11 or something there. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes crazy hours, right? Nothing I could pull off now. But it was fun work, right? It was exciting. And I think that's how you learn, right? You do that. And so sometimes I put out poster or something and people would write back saying, hey, this is broken or this doesn't work, or have you thought of that? And I was like, oh, I didn't. And at first I didn't like it, but then it's great because I'm actually, people are helping me back in return.
Sure.
So I like doing it. And yeah, it was a lot. I don't regret it. And I encourage people to, especially kids, I call them kids now, they're young adults who are starting their careers. Like, now's the time to spend and do that, right? Spend that time. And it shouldn't feel like work, right? Don't do it all the time. You still should have a personal life. But if you really want to advance in your career and truly learn something, it's not always going to happen at work.
Mm-hmm.
So school never ends, right? My kids are like, well, you don't have to go to school, right? They tell me all that because they don't like going to school. I was like, well, actually, I learn something new every day, right? It's not just an expression. I'm always learning, right? Whether it's from the Apex team, there's a bunch of smart people on that team, mm-hmm. right? Brilliant people. So I'm always learning from them. Or I get a question. I was like, I don't know the answer for that, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go find it. And that's the attitude I think a lot of kids should take. Don't just go on Stack Overflow or Oracle Forms or now AI, ChatGPT, right? And saying, here's the answer, copy and paste. Is try and understand it. Mm-hmm. Take that extra time because you have the extra time then.
Mm-hmm. So you started you already said Logger is one of the things you shared with the community like open source.
Yeah.
And besides that, you created or founded an initiative like Aura Open Source, right? So tell me a little bit more about Aura Open Source.
Yeah. So that it started with a good intent and I never kind of got a chance to finish that off.
Okay.
And the intent was to have a place where we could produce, we being the general community, when you had something that passed that threshold, and that threshold is just this invisible line where a lot of people use it as a quality product, we could host it there and it would come with that trusted brand name.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't just be me doing it. It would just be more the whoever managed that product. But when you knew you got stuff from our open source,
then you know it's good.
Then you know it's good. It's trusted. Yeah. It comes from, and it's not just this one-off thing, because sometimes people are like, hey, can you post this on your GitHub repo or something? And I wanted to. I was like, look, it's not my work. It's your work. You should celebrate that. But then also there was this gray area, right, of where do we do that? So I tried to move things over there. So Logger just wasn't me. It might have been a couple other people. Or sometimes people are like, well, Logger's run by this guy, Martin, and he's in Calgary. And who's that, right? You're a massive institution. How is that going to pass some sort of auditing check or security mm-hmm. check? So that was the intent. It never really worked out, but it was a try, right? And some things, as you try things, I tried a lot of things, right? It's a lot of failures, or I wouldn't call that a failure, just didn't pan out
mm-hmm.
in that sense. But that was the thought process.
But you bundled a couple of things in there, right? It was not just only Logger, right?
No, so Apex Cert was put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Scott Spendolini was running that and updating that and managing it. And so that was a great other project initiative where it had the branding behind it.
Mm-hmm.
People could use it. And now that's since moved into the Oracle repository. I think that was done recently. Yeah. And I forget there's one or two. I haven't been on Oro, the GitHub repo in a while. But I never tried to keep it closed, but I tried to make sure there was a threshold of quality before something came on there.
Sure. So there are no plans to get that back on track?
Not any times. No, I mean, I still want to encourage people to do, I think open source development's great. People get mm-hmm. to learn, and it's not just writing. It is a lot of times people can look at the code and learn from the code of they did this really interesting. How did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And same thing almost with sometimes in Apex, you've got the gallery apps,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes people look at it just saying, well, I want an app to do X, right? I want the strategic planner app. So I want to manage my product. Great. But there's a lot of cool things in there. And you can mm-hmm. look in the source code and see what did they do? How did they do it? And it's interesting to learn. So I'm hoping people can still do those kind of things.
Yeah. Maybe you find someone taking over our open source. I think it's a great idea. It's a great name. It's a valid reason to be there, right? So have something audited, or maybe you call it a threshold to get something in it.
Yeah.
So it's Aura Open Source stands for quality. And I think we need another place like this.
Do you want to take it over? Come on, <yeah. laughs> Now that you're offering, that's your idea.
I mean, you might find someone on the conference.
I
can help finding them.
Right? I hope so.
Awesome. So you started another thing, which was Docker for Apex, right? So there were a couple of lighthouses around the area. I think Adrian PNG was one of them.
Yeah.
Daniel Hochleitner and yourself.
Yeah. And Trent Schaefer as well.
Right.
And this, mm-hmm. I think it reformed into a product called Oscar, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Maybe we could be talking about the same or different things, mm-hmm. but Oscar, what we wanted to do is, if we take a step back, there is that free database version called Oracle XE.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, right? You have a full database. I think it was 19C, right? But it was never really upgraded mm-hmm. for a long time. But regardless, you get Oracle XE. Great.
Yeah.
Now what do you do? Great. Well, you need to install Apex. Okay. So you download Apex, you install it. Okay. How do I run Apex? Well, you got to download ORTs.
Yeah. Right? I can figure that. Yeah.
We're experienced developers, but put your hat on from someone who's just like, oh, I've heard this Apex thing. And they don't want to use apex.orgrol.com for whatever reason. And I think, look, it's a great site. It's the quickest way to get up and mm-hmm. run. Kick the tires, try things out, right? That is the best place. But then you have the people that are like, look, I'm trying to start a new company or I'm trying to do this and that. So everything has to be my own on my own system. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I don't want to pay for a full license. I don't want to run in the cloud for whatever reason, right? You know, the tinkers, right? That's maybe mm-hmm. a better word. I want it on my stuff. Well, if you're not in the Oracle ecosystem, it can be overwhelming, I think, for someone brand new to go, what are all these things? Where, like, I just want this one-stop shop. And so that's where Oscar came in. The name is OXAR, and it mm-hmm. came from Oracle, XE, Apex, and RESTful services, right? So I think it was Trent that had, like, when we were all, me, Adrian, Trent, were batting around the idea, that's how it came out. And it was this huge bash script and get larger and larger. Of like, what if you wanted this? What if you wanted that? Or making sure the passwords were all the same across. Mm-hmm. And it still is an easy system to do today. We haven't touched in ages. And hopefully we'll see other Docker containers or Podman containers that come out that do it. But we want to make sure that's simple for people that saying, hey, those that use it, those tinkers, the ones that are really not just kind of creating the select star from M tables, but mm-hmm. doing a full thing or building an org company on it. I think we should have something out there for them, mm-hmm. whether it's run by Community Oracle. I mean, who knows what will happen, but I think it would be great if we had that all-inclusive, just get started.
I mean, sounds nice to get everything in one box. I remember the time when I had to install like an own server and I started with the operating system. So again, I have access from outside. So mm-hmm. I have it like an own server running an XE. Mm-hmm. Then Apex, then RDS, get everything up and running. Back in the days, it was a hassle to get everything running just to use Apex, right?
Yeah.
So that's the right journey to do so. So now many people are talking about that. Scott Spendolini is talking at this conference about Docker containers, I guess.
Okay.
And I'm very, very interested in how this will proceed. So you did further things, even with Node.js and IT integration stuff. I read about that. So what was that about?
The Node.js. I forget. Now you're talking about. Do you have any notes on what specifically on Node.js? It's been a while. I've played with like Node.js server stuff,
like using Node-RED stuff.
Node-RED, yeah. Node-RED, so I looked into it, and it's for those that have never seen Node-RED's really cool.
Yeah.
Of like, imagine widgets of actions,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of piece them together as puzzles. So you think, I think in Apex, the easiest way to say it's like workflow, right? Mm-hmm. Like the new, you have that workflow UI where you kind of step through, but there are more processes for a computer. And they're really mm-hmm. meant for, this has been a long time since I played with Node-RED, mm-hmm. but they're meant for more, what was it?
IoT devices.
IoT devices, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the light bulb turns on, right? You tip the switch and then you want these three actions to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was playing around, was like, well, could you get that working with Apex or with the database? And I had something, someone actually created a Node-RED Oracle plugin so you could run SQL. Once you run SQL and PL/SQL, you're golden. And so I had that tinkering, and then it never really took off further beyond that. And then I'm not sure actually what happened with Node-RED, but the lead developer at IBM bought it at that time, or mm-hmm. owned it. I forget. The lead developer actually went off and did his own thing. So I still follow him on Twitter, and I'm not sure how active that is, mm-hmm. but it's a really cool concept of how that all worked. It always, it was a great experience on how to do it. And I think they were just constantly, it just needed more time and effort to get better.
For our listeners, we put all the different links and all the different tools we mentioned into the show notes, and there's one another, right? So I started with Node-RED also.
Yeah.
But it's really focused on IoT, on devices, right? So if you have like sensors and work with them using data from different sensors and as you said, like turn the light bulb on or off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something else which is more focused on like workflow, really on like data and REST APIs. And it's called N8N.
It's called what?
N8N.
N8N, like the letter N, 8, number 8, and then letter N. Okay.
Have a look at that and we'll love it.
Okay.
It's basically the same system. You have like a kind of a worksheet where you have the different components you put on, and then you just draw lines between the different blocks, and those lines define the connection between the data blocks. So you can say this block is fetching data from a REST API, and then you can say go to the loop thing. This loop you can configure to go through the data and loop all different parts of the JSON file.
Yeah.
And then you can reach to another API. For example, you can use AI stuff in there. So you can build up the whole pipeline where you want to let your data process or something. And it's already having like database connection modules. So you can really compare it to Node-RED, but more focused on software and REST APIs.
Oh, cool. And so I guess you could tie into the Oracle. Like if you wanted to, you could do REST SQL or something if you wanted to do.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And you can put any product in there. There is a big, very, very big palette of a gallery of components where you can just use drag and drop to put Google Drive in it. And you can just say there are predefined functions. If a file is appearing in the Google Drive folder, then transfer it over to Dropbox or to iCloud or something, and then process the data, put it in the Google spreadsheet again. And then just if there's a new data set in the Google spreadsheet, please call the REST API from a different service again. So if this is your work, your case, right?
Yeah.
You can do it. And you can auto post to social media. You can process video files. You can do everything in there. And you even can write your own modules for that. So another rabbit hole for you and for our listeners.
There goes my weekend next week.
Absolutely. I can just say, try it out.
Yeah, like it sounds like it's probably the same. Like when you say that you connect, you can send data. One cool thing I remember from Node-RED is you could also filter the data. So let's just say you get the blog, right? So you said, go get me the latest blog post. So you get the latest blog post, but you're like, I only want the top five. So you can do blog post array of 1 through 5 or something. And it's so quick to just get those five things. That was the best thing. So the connectors took care of all of that. So it sounds like probably the same thing.
It's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
So you have the gallery with data processing modules, which are only meant for getting data, filter it, summarize it, sort it, whatever you want to do with the data itself. And then there are the kind of third-party apps you can connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they might process the data using connectors to different services.
Okay.
And have to take care. So nice weekend, nice flight back. We see. So get back to your career. That's way more interesting than two weeks.
This kind of, I love it because and I always have that in mind. I was like, well, how could I do this and build into Apex or Oracle, right? Because sometimes those things, they're great for that data processing on things that aren't standard, right? Let's just say sensors, someone walks in the room, right? And then you're like, well, could I tie that easily in? And so maybe they don't have the Oracle module, right? But now we have Oracle SQL or SQL, REST SQL.
Yeah.
Right? So you could tie it in and then you're like, oh, I can create an audit history. I don't know. Like for instance, for my house, when you walk into the laundry room, long story short, the switch was put on the wrong side of the door. So you have to reach around the door to turn on the light.
Mm-hmm.
So me being a nerd, guess what I did? I put a motion sensor in the laundry room and smart switch. So when you walk in the room between like 7 in the morning and 10 at night, because I don't want to do it at the middle of the night, light switch turns on, right? But it auto turns off because no one in my house turns off lights. I don't know if you have kids or.
Yeah, of course.
How old are they?
10, 11 months and 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 11 months not turning on light switch. Yeah, but the 5 year old probably is.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no one. Yeah, so
need sensors, an N8N or a Node-RED and a Raspberry Pi connected to the network at home to use to get this job run. Besides just removing the door, right?
Yeah,
that would be.
I want the door on, right? So, but you know, like I set something up with the home. I got it working in HomeKit, super basic, right? Because to me, it was like I just need this light on and then shut it off when no one uses it. So I got basic things, but I'd love to always tie that in and just. An idea talking about it with how to tie it back into Apex is like maybe have a history of like how long is it in and or for instance like every time I auto shut off the light just to get some metrics of like how much because I have certain lights with hallways no one turns off lights in the hallways right so I have them now time that after 5 minutes they auto turn off right kids don't even notice it
sure.
It's like magic but I'd love to just fun stats of like how many times do they actually turn it off versus me automatically turning it off?
So you're even collecting statistics.
Well,
right?
I would like to, right? I don't do it now, but if I can tie that in, right, it would be great to have it and then show the stats on APEC. I'm just making these kind of things
so
up.
So using
right?
Homebridge, right? Homebridge to tie it into HomeKit.
Well, I'm using HomeKit right now, just 100% HomeKit, because I just haven't had time to set up Homebridge, but like something along those lines, right? Of, I don't know what it is yet.
So this is turning to even more nerd talk than it was supposed to be. But so there are many, many, many projects are running, but I'm very interested in what your work, like You were always working with Apex almost every, always, right? Like the last 15 to 20 years or so?
20 years, pretty much.
Almost. So now you're in the development team of Apex and you're not, how could I say, like the front facing person anymore, like you were when you were active in the community. You were like an ace director, right? Mm-hmm. And you were a groundbreaker ambassador. And then you, of course, lost the alumni status.
Yeah.
Because you're moving to Oracle and then you lose the Oracle ace status. But I mean, there's much exposure when you're doing so much contributions for the community and being an ace, being on conferences. So we know the reason why you not get silent, but decided to not do that much anymore. What is your current work right now at Oracle regarding Apex development? Which parts are you working on?
So I'm working, and by the way, I'm still expected to like engage with the community, right? They're not, I think some people have asked, just really recap on that point. It's like Oracle didn't say, people don't say like, oh, I have Oracle squash. It's like, no, they like everyone on the Apex team can blog and participate and stuff. Again, it was just the kids.
Sure.
But no, like, yeah, the active role right now is, so if you use the Oracle Forms, it's actually an Apex application.
Okay.
And it's a massive application. We have an internal version of it, but the external version, same code base, we changed a couple of different settings, is run in Apex. And so we get to kind of eat our own dog food on that. And we test Apex to massive amounts. Like the amount of hits we get is incredible. I think it's somewhere, I did the stats and I don't know if it was on a week or a daily basis, but like 750,000 sessions, either a day or a week for forms. Someone asked me this last week, so I can't remember exactly. That's just sessions. That's not page hits, right? Because the amount of page hits we get, not just from users, but by bots and spiders is huge. Mm-hmm. So when people talk about like, does Apex scale? And you're like, yeah, it scales. And I'm like, well, what proof do you have? This is a site that's absolutely massive, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just producing simple content. When you go down each post and you're querying or searching, you got Oracle text behind there. And so there's a lot of moving components. And the nice thing is we get to really push some of the limits of what the database and what Apex can do. And it's never really Apex. Mm-hmm. It's something else that we have to deal with. But it's interesting, right? Because there's a lot of other things that go on with that. So that's one thing. And the other thing is just core Apex platform development. So I deal with different things, sometimes with ORDS integrations. Mm-hmm. Most recently, Apex Lang is something else big that will be coming, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have announced release date, but we're working on that. So I'm up on that team as well. And just other projects that are starting or just being discussed that I can't talk about right now. But like the other big thing that I spent a lot of last year doing with a couple other great people, like Neil Fernandez and Dan McGann with SQL CL Projects, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I was so happy to come in and bring the community experience, right? Of, we're talking about setting up Oscar, that experience, like doing a release. It's not easy.
Exactly.
Right?
You need to have all the different steps in place to get your own CI/CD pipeline.
Yeah.
And that's a huge amount of effort, to get this up and running by your own, right?
Oh, 100. And I've done it on my own. I've done it with different teams and it sounds simple. It's like, oh, get the Apex app. Sure. But it also comes with the database changes. Well, just move that over. So, which database changes and what happens if it fails and all those things, right? And if everyone, when you go to all these companies, you see a lot of homegrown solutions and it's great, right? They've done it, but no one really wants to manage it. It's a lot of bash scripting. It's incredible what people have done, but
you cannot maintain it, right?
You can't maintain it.
Yeah.
And especially if that person leaves, usually it's one or two people that manage it. That person leaves, no one, like, these are complicated scripts when you actually write them. So
they start from scratch then.
You start from scratch and then you have a version two of all this because no one understands. I guess you've been through the same thing, right? As 20 years of experience, you kind of see that stuff. And so when this problem came up and the opportunity to really provide feedback and work, it was also a collaborative effort, not just the Apex team, right? Dan McGann doesn't work on, but he talks to us a lot. And so Neil and I from the Apex team was involved. And then we had the SQL CL team. So it was when we talk about collaborative effort, right? It wasn't just one group of people, it was a whole group of people. Lots of thought went into a lot of these ideas. Cause sometimes you might think like, oh, why'd you do that? Well, we've thought about 10 different ways, because we've all seen maybe 100 different ways people deploy. And like that classic religious debate of, do you develop in the database or the file system? We had that debate, right? My version was like, we should just develop in the file system. And then Dan, for instance, was saying, well, no, people still develop in the database. And we came up with a solution that works with both, right? And so all these sort of things, people wonder why it takes time, is because you want to facilitate for all different types up to a certain point, but all different types of users, so that our customers, and essentially a lot of people here at Kscope, can use and benefit with that. And so we're hoping that more people take up projects, and slowly those CI/CD pipelines become easier, and then you can focus on actually developing. And you don't have to be an Apex developer to use it, right? It's really on PL/SQL, but Apex is a first class object.
It is a very great move, or very great change to see that Oracle is providing so much resources in developing such a project, right? Because it's for free. You can use it for free as like your RDS, like the 23 developer edition of the database. So you can use everything for free, and Apex is also for free. And it should not be any problem to get your hands on this and try it out, right? So there's not an Oracle Golden Gate name thing on it, and you need to pay money for using it. Nope. So this is just for the community, just for people working with Apex, and that's very great. I love seeing that change.
Yeah,
talking about Apex Lang. So it's always nice to talk about stuff you might not talk about in depth. So I'm just trying, right? And I'll try as long as I can.
Yeah.
So how long does it take? No, this question I cannot say, but what do you think, how much percent Apex Lang is done for before releasing?
Okay, so first of all, we have to put in the safe harbor now. Make any purchasing decisions on anything we discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't want to talk about, like, I can't talk about how much percentage is done, how much, where we are along with it. Because things could change and I don't want to peg any expectations on that. We want to make sure that when we do release it, it's a quality product. We've got, it's not just the language, right? We could build the language, I can release it, but what are you going to do with it, right? There's the tooling. There's a lot of things that are happening, the documentation, the workflow, the Apex experience, the VS Code experience, all of that has to work, right? And so we want to make sure we have a lot of that in place, and not everything will be in place when we release it, right? There'll be new tools, and the community will probably also find some tools and build it, extensions. There's so much possibility about that. But yeah, we want to make sure that when it is released, its quality works. We don't want to ship a bunch of bugs, right?
So at this conference, we saw already a couple of talks about Apex Lang. The first time we saw something from that was like Mike Kichwa was like shouting it out at a conference on his keynote, like, this is coming. And I think it was Apex Connect last year, right? He already showed that. He said it is coming, and we all were just guessing what it could be and how it will end being a product or in the Apex product. And I'm very curious to see. So if you have to choose one feature or one topic inside Apex Lang that is your favorite, besides saying it's ready or not, so what is the one thing you say about Apex Lang is a deal breaker in a positive way?
So I'm going to answer as a just for the record, this is my personal answer, because everyone has different views. But when throughout the years, things that when you deploy Apex or bring Apex into an organization, everyone's like, wow, this is so quick. We built this other group was building something for 6 months, and you got a demo proof of concept working out in 2 weeks, and they still don't have a proof of concept, right? And then managers get looking at it, and someone eventually says, wait a second, it's one file. How do you know what changed, right? I've had release managers come up, or people saying, well, and I don't know if you've had this too in organizations when you guys work with them and say, like, hey, how do we track what changed and when it changed? And I think Apex Lang will provide that ability. Not just like people talk version control, you can put it in Git, you have a version for, you can back up to the version, which is great, right? You can still do that with Apex. You can do that with Apex now after every development cycle, put it in Git, right? Simple. You kind of see the changes, very big, but it's not super easy to do. Is now each developer can be working, and as part of their ticket, right, you can you can commit all of that. And so you can see the apex changes that went along directly associated with the PL SQL code changes, any JavaScript, et cetera. It all can be merged back in through a merge request or pull request, depending on what system you use. And all of that can be tied back to the ticket. Yeah. And where that becomes, to me, important is when you have to deal with bugs 3 years later, or a severe like financial bug or something, you want to know exactly when it was introduced and what was changed as part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been, it's possible, right? Again, depending on how far you want to take it.
You have to interpret it, right?
You have to interpret it. But now the possibility is very specific, because I'm sure you've done this in Git where you look, you're on a file and you knew something went wrong, you're dealing with a bug, you turn on Git history, right? Maybe line history or full file history. And then you start going back and back and back until you find out. And it's very important to find out when you're dealing with financial or other things. Mm-hmm. And that's what Apex Lang will offer. Again, my personal opinion, and it's not always the fanciest or most exciting thing, but it does, when you go into business, you can say, yeah, Apex is just like all those other like Java or Vue.js or whatever the kids are using. I don't know, it changes every 6 months now. But any of those other file-based system, it is now a first-class citizen in that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Apex Lang files are more readable and there are not that many IDs in it. So you can just do a diff between two application versions and it's way easier to compare them, right? So you can see like the region changed and you don't have like 200 changes in the Apex export because the different IDs and so on. So this will be way easier than before.
And just so people are clear on that. So like, yeah, if you develop in two different workspaces, for instance, and you can take the exact same application export and do a diff, nothing's changed. There'll be because every object or entity has an ID and all of those go away.
Even if you set a static ID for the region, it's still got its own ID inside, right?
Yeah, there's still an ID internally, but that static ID is the one that's persistent, right? So the numerical stuff, the stuff that we need, you're not exposed to, but you are. The export has the content, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're working on workspace one or workspace two and you export both the applications, they're exact same, the diff will be 100% the exact same. And that's the expectation, right? Before, exactly. Like you said, and then it really becomes hard is like, talk about what's changed. Well, you've got to go through, some poor sucker has to go through, and that's usually me, has to go through 100 of those changes, right? And then find, oh, the 101st one, that's where the problem is, right? Yeah. And it becomes, it's difficult.
All right, so before we go into our categories, what do you think Apex will look like in 5 years? Apex, the product itself, including Apex Lang, do you think it's like an AI tool completely from the start to the end, completely just everything AI? Or do you think it's still something for pro users? Or what's your personal opinion, not from your employee? So you don't have to say it again.
Okay.
What's your personal thought about that?
I think AI will just like every other programming language and everything almost now, AI will take over. As to what, how, and where, like that will play a role for the Apex developer, I'm not sure. But I think certain things, like there can be certain things that are done differently within Apex. And this, again, just a high level example support. Like we have, when you click on an item, you see help, right? Wouldn't it be cool if you could type a question right there that understands contextually where you are in the page, right? And that you're looking at the item. And then you put in the docs as part of the, why am I blanking on the name? But in certain AI tools, like you can put it as part of a knowledge base, right? So you can have that pre-built or pre-attached, almost like RAG type of AI, where you have all the documentation in there and you've already set it up at instance level or something, and you type in that question. And now not only is it like you're asking the page as a developer, but it's also looking at the docs and says, well, the docs recommend. It's a lot more than just that small snippet. Just an example, right? So I think the experience will change. And there's a lot of things I think we don't know, right? AI is constantly changing, and I'm sure you see it, like your life is always different every 6 months now.
That's the reason why I'm asking, where do you see it in 5 years? Because in the last 5 years, there happened so much. You could have even say that in 5 years, Apex doesn't have any UI anymore, like no page designer. because you're just talking to your application.
Yeah.
Just saying like, okay, go Apex. That's the slang. I'm going to trademark that. Go Apex or hey Apex. Create me a page based on the data we got from this REST API. And then please use as many items on the page as possible to get the more detailed, like a form page. Mm-hmm. Please take care of the padding between the items. It should be this color. It should be this size. And then you get the page like live created. And right after that, you say, okay, please go to this page and change this and that. You don't have to click yourself anymore. I think this could be something. So I'm just going into your innovative thinking and put something in there. So
we yeah, and I think it all depends on what angle. That's just what I think that's possible too. Where I see it, like where I think it is, again, personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to create it. And then you're going to still have to get into the weeds, right? As a developer.
Of course.
It's the details will matter, but yeah, like I've played around with like, build me a calculator, mm-hmm. right? And then it builds it. You say, change it red or something. Like this is just standard ChatGPT when you create a JS application. And I see that kind of stuff. Yeah. With Apex Lang, for sure we could get that, but then well, how does a calculator work? What's the, I don't know if it's counting like countries, tax rates, all those things, yeah. But that's where it gets interesting. But we don't know, right? Things, technology, we might not realize like technology is crazy now. I actually showed my kid a video because I don't know, he was complaining about something. I was a Nintendo Switch, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you realize how lucky you are to have like colors on your video game? And he's like, what do you mean? And I pulled up
Game Boy.
No. Well before, even before okay. My first computer is an IBM PS2.
Okay.
And I think we were living at large back then. It had 16 colors. But my first game was, I remember this vividly. So Test Drive, it was called Test Drive. Mm-hmm. It's got four colors. It was that like teal, green, purple, black, and gray or whitish, right? Mm-hmm. And I showed him, I had to download some screenshot. And he's like, really, Dad? He's like, well, where are the other players? And I was like, there wasn't any players. It was just that. I was like, there's no controllers using like ASWQ or whatever, like mm-hmm. those key. I don't know if you've ever played those back in the days. Right? And it really kind of dawned. Wow. In one generation when I was his age, that's what I was playing.
But yeah, I mean, you were as happy as he is right now, right? So he's absolutely getting used of best 3D graphics, maybe inside Vision Pro or Apple Vision, or whatever technique you're using. So you're happy now. You were happy back.
Yeah,
but you're still confused how this many changes or this inventions happened in this small amount of time, right?
Yeah, so. And from a history, so it just goes to show, like, what do I think it's going to look like in 5 years? I don't know.
But using your answer before, where do you think that Apex is going to with AI? One thing that doesn't have changed the last 10 years was using Apex as a low-code platform, right? Mm-hmm. If anyone says, okay, low-code, you don't need to code, is it that meaning? Then you said, no. So you got the easy stuff, the boilerplate code out of your system. You don't need to take care of the UI at all at first, And then if you're going into depth, you have to code. You have to do PSQL. You might have been using JavaScript heavily or CSS to adjust what automatically was created. You're using those manual pro skills, I call them. To do exactly what you want with Apex. Mm-hmm. And I think this will not change even if you have AI. So get basic stuff done. There was one step in between, like using wizards. Mm-hmm. So you not just have one page, put everything via drag and drop on it, configure it and start it and you have your application in place. Then you had the wizards where you just have been asked like 5 questions and then your site was done. And this will be the future that you have an AI that you're just using natural language to let the application or let the page designer create your application, right? But it would still have this point in time where you have to adjust what you generated or what you have written before and adjust it on a higher skill level. I guess this is something AI cannot do for you.
Right now it can't. We'll see. But it also, I mean, it depends. You said like low code always doesn't mean no code. I think it depends on who we're talking about. If you're the citizen developer who says, hey, go create me an application to show all my employees in the organization and create a pie chart to mm-hmm. show the breakdown of cost by or like salaries by cost center. Mm-hmm. I think AI could solve that for them. And it depends, like we're just giving a general thing. And if that's all they want, fair.
This is a typical citizen developer, right? Yeah. If he's writing the application for himself, it's fine. It's exactly the way he said. But there would be always a point when he's or she's sharing the application with someone else. And then the small nitpicks are coming up, like, can you do this like sideways? And then you're starting to do like first line of CSS to rotate something. Or can you just adjust this or remove this button from the UI just inside the interactive grid or something? Mm-hmm. There were times that you were not able to disable single things or add a button to export something inside the toolbar of the interactive grid, for example. There was always this one small change or request from someone to edit it on the page you weren't able to do declaratively. And I think this will never change.
That will probably not, right? Yeah. We say that now, we're not sure. But where it really could all open the opportunities is, and I've seen this because some of my friends are like high level VPs and, mm-hmm. and stuff. So you talk to them and again, these are all personal anecdotes just for the record. and they're like, yeah, I just want this one bit of information. And so I have to go ask that person for the spreadsheet. They spend like half a day manipulating the spreadsheet to get this report. And I'm just putting my head down. I was like, man, if we had access, I could do this in 10 minutes in Apex, just for you, right? That's all you want is that. And imagine if you can have those people ask AI, generate that basic thing, and then saying, this is how I want it, right? This is what's meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And then hand that off to a developer clean. I'll say, look, I don't want to see all this other, for whatever reason, I want this, this, and this. This button's supposed to move here. Have a go. But this is the intent. It's just talking about ideas. I think that will be an amazing use case for those people that want to get their vision into Apex quickly. Mm-hmm. And then when the details do matter, they're not the people that want to spend or like to spend, right? They move on to other things. They don't want to spend their time nerding out and doing all those different things. They can hand it off to a developer to then finalize and clear it up. Because normally it's done the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. Someone says, this is what I'd like. Developer develops something, shows it back, and then you get feedback back and forth. But this could kind of eliminate that first step or make it faster. I don't want to say eliminate. People think might eliminate jobs. No, it's just more making people more efficient on what they do so they can provide more value.
Mm-hmm. So talking about ideas, I definitely want to mention something that was extensively said yesterday in the symposium. So using the IDS app.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something, I don't know if you're involved in that. I guess everyone is, right? Like reading what's happening in there.
Mm-hmm.
So to all our listeners working with Apex, using Apex and want to contribute something, at least an idea, please feel free, go to our show notes, go to the IDS app. We put a link in there. So you can wish things like, I mean, you always can say your wishes, but you can enter something you are missing in Apex, you think is a great addition to Apex, then put it into the IDS app. Find people who are upvoting that for you. If they think it's a great addition to Apex, and then we might see it in a product later, right? So I have to mention that. Even if you think that my assumption how AI is proceeding in the next years might be good, put that in the IDS app and track it and see how Apex will evolve in future.
Yeah. And just for those that weren't here at Kscope, Vincent Morneau showed like the stats of the last couple of releases, mm-hmm. and the next release will be huge with the number of ideas we've implemented, right? So we love the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not like when you put an idea there, it's not going into Neverland, right? There is a group. I know that we meet weekly. Sometimes I'm not actively involved in that, but Vincent leads that group. Sometimes I look at an idea or someone will ping me like, hey, what do you think about it? So they're actually discussed. They're looked on. They're talked about. And some of them are actioned on, right? We can't do everything because just because you want it may not make sense or your vision might be slightly different. But if we don't know about the idea, can't really act on it, right?
Definitely never happen, yeah.
And this is that chance where a lot of platforms are like, oh, I hate this. And kind of, mm-hmm. that's just me complaining. Now's your chance to say, I don't like this. Well, what's your solution? How do you envision things to be better? And for the community, go post it. We want to hear from you. And maybe you post that and someone else says, oh, I have a similar idea. This is how I solved it. But still would require an Apex change to really make it good. And you can kind of blend different ideas to get a better thing for everyone.
But there was a promise yesterday from Vincent. So each and every idea will be like not rated, but will be read.
Mm-hmm.
And either got a rejection with a meaningful response to it, or will be discussed and maybe find its way in the product. So there's no, I guess the IDS app now is the second launch of the IDS app, or there was something in the past where you were able to wish or enter your wishes or your requests to Apex. I don't know if it's really a separate application or if it's just the forums, but this time they promised, you promised, Vincent promised.
Not me, but no, but they're already doing.
Yeah.
Right. They're exactly. already
they're
going
reading
through
each and everything. Yeah. They might combine different ideas. So they just have one, like multiple ideas under one roof. Right. So I very encourage everyone to have a look at the IDS app. Maybe there's something inside you already wished and you can vote up, or you can enter your own idea and make the product even better than it is right now.
Yeah. Or if you see a similar idea and you're saying, well, it's really close to what I have, but I have these three other needs or something, feel free to add a comment, right? Provide screenshots.
That's
this is
nice.
Great. The more we have, the better.
That reflects perfect the relationship between the Oracle Apex development team and the community. So we are so close. We can talk to each other. We can use the IDS app to have a very meaningful impact into the Apex product in the future. Happy to see that. Didn't see that often in the community or in different communities, that the product team is so close to everyone using Apex. And this is definitely just some positive point. So let's move over to our categories. So we have three different categories, and Martin was not even informed about that before. So three categories, hypothetically, in private and consumption. So Martin, I will ask you the questions. Maybe you ask as quick as possible, not think too much about it. And yeah, so let's start. Hypothetically, what would you like to invent or create in the technology sector? If you're just completely open, what would you invent some?
In the tech, I don't know.
Is it a floating skateboard, or is it some software product what's not existing, or is it even a completely recyclable iPhone or something?
I honestly don't know.
Okay,
I'm going to have to come back. I'm going to come back to that. Yeah, that one you
right
could have
now.
Prepped me for, and I probably would have given it some thought.
Okay, there's one easier question.
Yeah.
You don't have to think that long about it. Hypothetically, if you could undo one technological trend in the recent years, what would it be? It could be like electric cars. It could be e-scooters. It could be...
Probably e-scooters. Yeah. No, look, I want to comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not just e-scooters. It's the e-bike, everything. I think it's awesome because, especially being in Calgary, we're mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mountains there. And when you hit hills, they're hill, right?
Yeah.
You know, people have never seen mountains. Like, there's a difference between a hill and a mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of how hard they are and the gradients they go up. And I love seeing people that I know don't, like, especially like elderly people or people that might not be at different fitness levels, get outside and do things. And this allows them to go with other people and still participate and also encourage the active lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it's awesome. And then there are people who are perfectly healthy, perfectly fine. Taking that and zipping at 50 kilometers an hour by you, I was like, that's not the point, right? And so I was like, I don't like that, because as you're biking and you're like, it's like a car driving by you. So that's something I don't know if I'd like to take it away, but maybe, oh, hold on. My things went crazy. Hold on. No, it just cut off. I don't know if I unplugged.
No.
What's that?
Oh.
Oh, there we go. It helps if it's plugged.
There are always outtakes.
So, sorry, I got to go on a side note on this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Because I just unplugged the audio cable. But this is a true story. My parents called me up a couple months ago. I can't make this stuff up.
Uh-huh.
But like, the printer stopped working. So what do you mean the printer stopped working? Like, no lights turn on. It's like, did you unplug it, right? You go through the standard thing. I unplugged it. Yeah. And so they live far away. So we're doing this over FaceTime, which that in itself takes 20 minutes to set up, because you're like, mom, flip the camera. So let's go. So I was like, guys, this is not working, right? It's just not turning on. And they pressed all the buttons, plugged it all in. And I eventually said, okay, look, this is just not even worth the time anymore. The printer is 20 years old. It's like, let's just get you a new printer. So I ordered a new printer, and a week later it got shipped. They got it and they're like, can we return the printer? I was like, what's wrong with it? It's brand new. It's perfect. Like, we found the problem. It's like, what do you mean? They have a curtain for where the printer is. And because they've opened and closed curtain over 20 years, the plug just slightly gets nudged once every day. Okay. And you can touch something with a curtain for 20 years, apparently. It falls out. You never check the plug into the wall. Oh. I'd spent hours trying to debug this thing.
But you were asking, like, did you...
Did you plug... Well, yeah. My mistake. Did you check both ends of the plug?
So, I mean, you figured it out here. So we... You just describe what happened here so we can let it stay in the podcast.
Yeah.
But next time I would just know where the part of the cable is, which is... Yeah.
Notice how I looked at both ends of the plug, right? Because I've learned that lesson.
So this cable doesn't even have more than one because it's one extension thing.
Okay, yeah, because it's the extension I knocked
out. Yeah, it's a professional thing of that. So you would undo like e-scooters for people who are completely healthy, like e-bikes and e-scooters. So we might just suggest that in Calgary, everyone is going to get a prescription to get an e-bike on e-scooter.
Or just more, if you don't need it, if you don't need to go 50 kilometers an hour, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're doing it there to cruise, I think that's awesome. Right, out, yeah.
So this question was way more sophisticated than the other one. So let's move over to in private. Are you satisfied with your work-life balance?
Yes.
That's a very quick and short answer. So completely... Now and back then, at the time where you're doing so much contributions to the community?
Yeah. Also, look, I've had, when I first started my career, I had to take my first job. I had to take a streetcar, two subways, and then a bus to the subways, both going to the end of the line, and then a bus to an end of the line. Took me like an hour plus each way, right? So you learn what, and then the job wasn't a great job. And then you kind of really learn what's a not great job, right? Not just the job, but the transport, everything, right? And then as I got to get more into tech and different companies, I realized, it was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. Not everything's perfect, but great opportunity to make my life better, right? And the working those late hours, like I said, I love doing it. It was fun. It was hard. Look, you run into this bug and then you spend, I'm sure you've done those times, right? You spend,
of course, yeah.
But you're always learning, and I love learning on that. And now like that work-life balance, it's good. It's different, right? With family, but I do get to spend a lot of time with my kids, and I realize how fortunate I am to have that opportunity to work and be also present. I see it a lot. And I don't know if you as a parent with young kids see it, where some parents have to work, and I'm not judging or anything, but their life situations, they have to work a lot. Like my best friend is a carpenter, and he works crazy hours, really does it for his family, but he also isn't present as much as he'd like to be. He wants to be, but isn't able to be as present for his daughters. And I realize how fortunate I am that I can do both. Right.
If you just remember that, saying that when there's a time you have to work more, and even say, okay, I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, and I can be very, very happy about working in IT, working remotely all the time, and being home and see your children growing up, right?
It's an unbelievable experience. And again, I realize how fortunate I am, and I try and take it up. I'm not judging others. Like, people need to do what they need to do to provide.
We need those jobs that can't be done remote, right?
Yep. So. Yeah. And also like different life, different person, but I really enjoy that. And there's some nights that, you got to pull the nights, and even just coming to this conference, like I also like being in person because you get to see people, but it comes at a cost. But I remind my kids too, is like, hey, look, we're really fortunate. I can do all this, but sometimes you have to
record podcast, right?
Yeah.
All right. Last question.
Yeah.
Consumption. Yeah. How do you deal with the growing flood of information via various channels? Like news information are coming in more and more.
Yeah.
Push notifications, whatever newspaper or things you're
How
getting.
How old do I look? Just out of curiosity on the newspaper question.
I mean, no, I'm joking. I'm just having it on my iPad. Yeah. I'm not answering the question because of like safe harbor stuff. I cannot answer how old I guess you are. So how you deal with it? Like your phone not stop ringing.
Actually, it's funny. I uninstalled Twitter about 2 months ago or a month ago, and I know people installed different political views and stuff. I didn't install it simply because I was just reading too much, right? And so it's tough because there's a lot of content in there. I try and find something like on the political stuff, like I'll read it. It's fun to kind of read if I'm just by myself or something. But when I do want to read like art, like technical articles, I'll find something And usually there's short snippets, let's say on Twitter, or someone sends it out internally on Slack. And then I'll try and go and dig into it and learn it, because it's just too much. Like AI, for instance, there's a plethora of things. So sometimes at lunch, actually, I try and watching YouTube videos, and I'll watch it at like 1.5 or 1.25, right? Speed. And I'll learn about it. And I was like, okay, that's a really cool thing. And then I'll go try and learn on like Ollama or something and do some of it and fail. But then almost like starting to learn Apex again, right? I'll try a bunch of stuff and then shelve it and go back. It depends when I have that time. But I try and dig deep until I can't dig, and then watch a video or something to learn more, and then saying, oh, that sounds really cool, then go learn some more. But yeah, you can't consume everything.
So this is your source of inspiration, right? So you're using this channel to get in the rabbit holes, as we already talked about the NNN stuff, which is definitely bringing you to dig into the rabbit hole again.
Yeah.
So you're just trying to deal with all the information and the stuff by your need to learn, right? So you're consuming as much as you can, as much as you're able to dig deep in, just not get everything, but the part you want to listen to or you want to dig into, you're going heavily inside and invest your time into get the most out of it, right?
Yeah. And I try and, like, if there is something I need to know about, but I don't have time to dig in, I'll try and get a general gist of what it is. And then, I mean, we have going back to the Apex, we have a lot of smart people on the team. Someone usually you can ask and reach out to if you need more information. But it's personally for me, it's impossible to keep on track of every single fine detail, because of every single technology, it's just I don't have all that time.
All right. This was our last question.
Okay.
Time is up. Martin, thank you very much for joining me here at Caseco in the middle of the exhibition hall and in Glass Cubic. So maybe just a small disclaimer. I have to put it in front of the episode, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the middle of the hall. Everyone is around us. Vendors are around us. People are eating around us. And you might have heard something in the background. We try to filter that out. I have to figure out how to reduce the noise in the background for the next sessions. But thank you very much for joining me, Martin.
No worries. And it's a great booth. It was a lot of fun, Kai. Thanks.
If there would be a ceiling on it, it would be quite better. But yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing people don't see in the videos. Like, oh, you're in a glass recording booth. Yeah, but there's no
ceiling on it. Yeah. I might figure that out. Maybe I get some cardboard.
No, it was a great setup. Thanks. And I appreciate Odie Tug for facilitating. You told me everything they've done to make this happen. I think this is great. And this is right in the middle, right?
It is right in the middle.
Literally. So. Before, sometimes they were on to the side, but this is awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you get that exposure.
I'm still trying to not be distracted by people walking around here watching inside. But I saw a couple of people are taking photos. I'm very, very curious about what's happening on social media right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Thank you very much for joining me. It was very interesting for me, and I think also for our listeners. We catch up soon. Have a great conference.
Thanks.
And we see each other later on.
You too. Enjoy the conference and have a safe trip back home.
Thank you. Thanks. This episode is powered by Hyatt, your smart companion for digital business solutions, and by Odie Tuck's gracious invitations and support. Thank you for having me at the conference and fueling this journey.